personas son entonces escuchadas en España. Arratsaldeon.
Good afternoon. We're going to commence the press conference of the film Double Steps, Los Pasos Dobles. In the official section, we have the director, Isaki La Cuesta. We have the producers, Luisa Matienzo and then Wessler. The scriptwriter, Isa Campo. And we also have the actors, Maquel Barceló, Alucise, Amodelo and Masagudelo, and they're ready to answer your questions. So therefore, first questions, please. The first question, please. Raise your hand, please. Okay, well, over here, on my right. Hi, good morning. I would like to ask Isaki La Cuesta or Luisa Matienzo, could she explain the genesis of this project? What was the origin? It's quite a cliche question, but I would like to know so that we could get deeper meaning upon the film. And then Miquel Barceló, what we've just heard, the actor Miquel Barceló, how does a painter like you be introduced as an actor, as a feel, and what made you get involved in a project of this nature? Miquel and I have been giving contradictory versions upon the origin of the film, so it's better that Luisa says, gives an answer. The story, at least from my point of view, everyone's got the feeling as regards to how it starts, but how we started. I felt like shooting a film in Africa, and all of a sudden I thought the opportunity of Barceló, Miquel Barceló, to go to Dogon to carry out a performance that he wanted to shoot there and to say farewell to all of the people and all of his friends, because he wanted to give his last representation in Shanga, in the city where he lives in Mali, for quite a while now. And we decided to go there to record this, and we thought, Isaki and myself thought, that we wanted to do something more, and we wanted to squeeze a little more juice out of him, and not only to record the performance, but or shoot the performance, but do a parallel approach with the François Augeras, the writer and painter, who's more or less his alter ego, so to speak. And therefore the scriptwriters started to write how we were going to set the story up, and then we went to see locations to shoot, and that's how everything started, more or less. In any case, Isaki Barceló and Barceló had already met before all of this, of the so-called Genesis Conchita, but they already knew who they were. They met each other in Barceló, in his studio in Paris. He has a lot of paintings of François, and Isaki felt like he wanted to know about who was this absolutely epic and curious character as is François, and that's where everything emerged from. That's how it all started a bit. When I said actor, I didn't even look when they said Miquel Barceló, because the truth is I avoid, albeit I represent a performance there. At every moment, I carefully tried to avoid acting. It was a bit of... I always did what I would have always done, albeit Isaki hadn't been shooting in Mali over that period of time. I tried to do what I would have done normally and to use what happened up in the film, some albino people, scorpions, and so forth. That's I've tried to use, just like Isaki did with myself. I worked as I normally do, as I always do in Mali, against the elements and reutilizing the elements, the wind to do something, to use the dust to to get something positive out of something which is negative. And Ezekiel will work like that. I'm not an actor, obviously, that's quite obvious from the outset. But as Ezekiel said, in these, it's all acting in the editing room. It's like everything is painting for me. Clay, dust, holes. And as holes are painting, well, I'm an actor, why not? In the same manner. The strange thing now is that we can talk about both, because these are two. Ogon, for example, just like Mikael's paintings and his textbooks, when he paints both paintings, but they've changed, the same thing happens with the films. So therefore we'll try to tell, bear that in mind as well, the other film of the performance that we recorded as well. Hi, good morning. I don't want to be miscourteous, but I'm going to be quite brief. I think that when we're discussing a festival model, when there's so much creativity that wants to emerge and come to the surface, and there's so many actors, I say actor and not an interpreting actor, but directors and producers that aspire to come to the San Sebastian Film Festival, that you bring two films upon this person who says he's an actor, I'm not going to say anything else. I think it's quite unfair. That's all I want to say. Thank you. We paid for our trip, if that's some consolation. So it's not being paid by the taxpayer. Yes. Hi, can I hear you? Yes, we can hear him. Hi, good morning. I would like to ask Isaki La Cuesta why is he so concerned by the question of duplicity. And the film is called Double Steps. We're talking about Miquel Barceló's textbooks, notebooks when he paints. Why that double journey of the people and the public and the private figure as well? And on the other hand, seeing the film where you've got the feeling that something that has evolved during the shoot of the film, that you've soaked yourself into what is Mali, and your fascination for the country has incorporated new parallel stories to that of the double steps. Yes, the truth is I don't know, because it's true that all the films are double or turn into something quite strange. What is true, however, when we confront any project, we always think there are several possible films, and I'd like to make four or five, and to change the idea of this person, but you can't because of budget and obviously common sense. You can only make one film, which is quite normal, and in this case, we're fortunate enough that Luisa has been just as crazy as us, and all of a sudden we saw that in the production both films belong to different types of materials. They said that they couldn't fit into one single one, so therefore we de-doubled them. It's called Double Steps from the beginning, when we thought only making one film. So therefore it's as if the name was a sort of premonition. And I don't know why this obsession, or whatever you want to call it, upon double things, it's like changing your style as you go. And I think that one changes style as you go, I think it becomes greater. Augusto Monterroso said that there's a good conversation changes subject and changes style as it advances. Why not the films? Can't they change as it advances? So therefore, this gives its greatest strength. That's what we try to do. And about Mali, yes, of course. We didn't know nothing of anything about Mali. We knew about Mikael's paintings and Ogiras' story, which was a sort of a framework. We filled it in with what we found there. I liked it very much when we got to Mali. We saw that the landscapes had the same colors as Mikael's paintings. I realized it's as natural as thing in the most natural thing in the world. The pigments. Ambo is the assistant of Mikael. Pigments that are made with the earth there. When he paints the cliff is within the painting, so therefore we wanted the film to be the same. When we expressed abstract characters, then you meet Masabu, Ajol, and Ambo, for example. You look at the places and you make the film change. So therefore, the original script that we did with Isa, there was a duel between Ojiras and the head of the bandit gang, but it turns out that the protagonists were dancers, and Buga is the actor that does Ojiras, and these two are dancers, and so we turned it into a duel between dancers at that sequence in the discotheque when they're dancing with Maxilides types of paintings. So therefore, that was the idea. The girl who finds Ojiras, that love sort of story was in the script. That was a sequence with Ojiras. The passage that Jiros explains in his book, he goes to a brothel looking for a young girl. We want the girl who wanted to get undressed in the, and in the audition, this girl was very timid, and it was even better. We saw five or six girls got undressed. She didn't want to. She didn't want to get undressed. We filmed her shyness there. So therefore, that we transformed things as they went on. Because otherwise, it's like hitting a brick wall. If you do the contrary, you've got to let things flow. Hi, good afternoon. This question would be the author. The soundtrack. He's going to be here. Perhaps he's not arrived yet, but he's supposed to be here. Well, I'll ask you the question, whatever. What drew my attention was the soundtrack, especially two main songs. One, it seemed to me, that has a Western-type air to it, and the other, me, very similar like village festivity-type music. Yes, the fact it's the same song with two different versions. I think it's something that summarizes the film. It's a two-step. Girac was a new two-step, and then put it in through a Western, which appears in the initial credits, and at the end it sounds with the municipal band sort of music, and that it goes back to a two-step, or a double-step as we could call it. Well, Girac, the music of The Damned, and he made the soundtrack, which I thought was great. I thought many other films would call us up, because Spanish cinema as it is, it can only work without us, because nobody's called him. And he's done another soundtrack, which I love now. And Gerard sends you 80 or 90 songs. That is to say, for his music, we could have made 5 films with the music he sends you. He sends you such an enormous amount. I would like to ask the actors from Mali, Amo Yamasagu, whether they knew about Ojira's story, or whether Michelet told them about them, and your experience under the direction of Isaki La Cuesta, the experience that you've had of making this film.
Bon, pour moi, Jiras, je le connaissais pas avant.
I didn't know who Ojira's was beforehand. For me, it was something completely new, because I had no idea who Ojiras was. Nobody knows who he is there. Practically nobody knows Ojiras. I think we're a small group of about 50 in entire Europe who knows who Francois Ojiras is. There are about 10 or 15 books a year, the publishing house says, and I think I know everyone who's read about him. Many people think that's me in Venice when we presented it at the pavilion in Venice. Many people thought it was Pessoa. I mean, heterogeneous approach with Ojiras. The truth is, he lived, he suffered, and died in a cave, basically. And he was in Africa, but not in Dogon, but in the Saharan Africa that I've been to. And they didn't know who he was. But that was the experience in the shoot. That's something else.
Expérience de tourner le film avec Isaki, de tourner le
On a tourné le film au Gérage, donc.
Yes, when we shot the film, I knew it through Ojiras, through Isaki's work, the truth he said, when I started with him, and we liked it very much to be able to work with him. My name is Alucy Cedizon. I'm a dancer, and it was the first time that I participated in a film of this nature. And I met Isaki in Bamako. We did the audition, and he said, "You've got to be one of the characters in the film, the head of the gang of bandits." And I adapted with everything that I could contribute through dancing, so therefore it was an absolutely new experience to shoot a film in that way. Perhaps what we should say, that Amoya and Masamu are the best friends of Mikel in Mali now for many years. Amo works with him, as I was saying, And the rest of the audition, we were looking for other actors. We went to a Mamako in the cinematography center in Mali. There was an enormous amount of yellow papers with all of the Mali actors. They were dating back to 1979, 1980, where they had to address his house or call his mother to find him. So it was very difficult to find the actor. Imagine a photo from 1982 and to find an actor in 2011. So it was very difficult. We had a director, an assistant director that helped us to do this in markets, in theatres and out in the streets. And Ashol and Buba, who's the actor that plays Ojiras, who couldn't come, they found him in a dance company. And I think that anyone sees the film doesn't know this condition. It's quite normal. You'd think that you've known them for many years. I'm glad how they've all interpreted their roles or played their roles. Joel and Buba, for example, their physical capacity and the dancing scenes and the fighting in the dancing scene, Masabu, for example, and Joel and Damon, the capacity to narrate because they're very good storytellers. I didn't understand that they could control the frame so well because they moved very well within each of the different shots and scenes. I don't know how they do that because they don't have a visual culture like we do. They don't have TV, so therefore the shooting of the film was quite surprising. I think to a certain extent we've lost spontaneity at that level. Hi, good afternoon. Two questions for Barceló. The first is, like Antonio López with Sol de Membrillo, to allow everybody to come into your workshop, why did you take that step? That's why do you allow people to invade your intimacy of the artist, you as an artist? And I didn't know who François Augereau is. And what happened with those frescoes of that bunker that were painted? Do they exist? It seems not. Well, we don't really know too well. And it's great that such is the case. He describes it in a book which is called Trajectoire. He describes that he painted the frescoes once they were destroyed by Spanish soldiers of the Foreign Legion, and he painted them again. And this time he allowed a big rock to fall in, to close a small door of the bunker in his book, and he says, because my work is not for people of this century. That's his sentence. And in the frescoes of Augereau, exaggerates when he says, I've done a great painting, and it might be it could have been a small door. That's his nature, and that's the way he is. He might have exaggerated. So therefore, in this bunker, we've sought after it through the Augereau and Eraldi, and places where it may have existed. I found empty bunkers full of serpents and snakes. There were no frescoes, and if there had been a fresco, the time would have destroyed it, I'm sure. But that may be under the sand somewhere. With Izaki, we thought about make an expedition to find the frescoes, but now it's one of the areas which are the dangerous areas in the country. So therefore, the second question, I was Sol de Membrillo, the experience, in no time that I thought that it was similar, in no time that I thought they'd spend 6 months in my workshop or 1 year, quite fortunately. It was quite brief, the period of time, and the truth is, and in that, Izaki adapted himself very easily to my nature. I did what I normally would have done even if they weren't there, and I imposed this as a discipline to myself because I just didn't want to denaturalize anything at all. The albinos, for example, I'd already thought about painting albinos, and it was something theoretical, but as it worked so well, and it became something which was immediately that formed part of my work and the film itself. While exhibiting myself, it was just me working and allow there to be a camera there, but as I had a good relationship with Izaki, Ian, Luisa and the camera, it wasn't too difficult for me. There wasn't a lot of camera work. It was quite minimum. My house, everything is open air. It's a small shelter and a series of caves next to a cliff. In no time did I have the sensation that I had too many people at home. My house is so small, only two or three can fit in a maximum at the same time. When we started the film, I believed that someone would make a comparison with Sol de Membrillo and Miquel I thought shooting in the air with a shotgun, but and that was it. But there's no doubt in my mind that we weren't going to do that. Hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask you that. That film has very interesting things in it, but it seems to me, and as you said at the beginning, that you knew nothing about Mali, when the truth, it seems to me, that you've inspired yourself upon many moments and some African authors. And the Mali cinema can be very interesting as auteur cinema. But then the film falls into something like, it's like a spaghetti western or something of this nature. And at the end, don't you have the impression that at the end it's a film which is quite like a postcard which comes from Mali of different subject matter? Barthelot is talking about of the albinos they use. But the painting is one thing. Painting, experimental painting is one thing, and cinema is something else. And it seems to me that at the end it's a film that, me personally, didn't move me at all. It's a film that has a lot of things that can be an enormous amount of things, but at the end it doesn't give you the impression. You know the film by Yossel Yonigich, made in Africa, but that film was something else. It was a very coherent metaphor which used a certain objective in mind, and I don't understand how this film can fit in. Seeing the other one, yes, perhaps it's because we never think about using the black people with any objective in mind. That perhaps is the principle. Well, you've got a very strong, marked way of making films. African cinema, I don't know it, unfortunately, not too much. It's quite curious that many people, when they see the film, they think it's very African, and I think it's for something obvious. It's because they're black. It's as simple as that. The way of telling the story, it's the same way of telling the stories of the Ovidio's metaphor, Circes. We were thinking about legends, our own, the 1001 Nights, for example, the film by Pasolini would have been a film which would have been very Asian. Well, this is something that we asked ourselves from the outset. The fact that it was a films of white people filming black people, and now it was all as a group thing, and with Lisa and Luisa, who, and Amo was guiding us and our other friends there, we started from this idea that all of our stories all of a sudden have to fit into theirs. I remember, for example, when, and the real story of Ojiras ends his days in a cave like a hermit, and then we find that it was like Barthelot, for example, and all of a sudden we saw a guy and we shot him on a tree, and then all of a sudden we've got a myth which is very similar to this, when we said, well, we're going to do this, that, and the other. That skeptic, but believe me, I know you're skeptical in what you're saying, because you're not saying. I'm sorry, we can't hear him now. It's a millenary, a thousand-year-old tradition. I like imperfect films as well. I think they satisfy me. It's great that things aren't always perfect, and they end up. What was I talking about? Everything fit in very well. For example, at the end, mythology is all similar, and they had their own stories and their own mythologies. Therefore, we've lived very much from what they were telling us and what we saw there, and then people may like it or may not like it, and that's great. That's ideal. I think that's great. And this happens very much, that people appreciate what they've seen that with things that they've never seen at all. And it was good, for example, I think it was great. In the Paso Doble performance, they interpreted based upon their own mythology. And we'd seen in another key, for example, in something different, the performance was more like bullfighting, but it was based upon their own mythology. It's quite beautiful. It's a film that has been made in a union and linking to the people that we met there. It's not that they were representing for something that was for us that wasn't related to Africa at all, and that's very interesting. And it would be recognized, for example, what we had written down in the script. Two films were made. If you don't like one, look at the other one. Watch the other film. I made two films related to this. One of the two, I'm sure, is okay. So check the other film out. And otherwise, we'll promise we'll come back until you like it. We'll keep coming. It's like my paintings. I always paint another one because the previous one, I don't think it's very good. And I've been 40 years painting one painting after another because I've never liked the previous one. A question for both of you. A couple of years back, like in 2008, in La Barrica, in London, it was called Two-Step or Double-Step. in London. I'm not too sure. You're not an actor. Before you leave, it's easy to link things. If go to Mali and shoot there, if you think it's not an easy film, if you catch what I'm saying. Sorry, we can't hear him now without a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
These guys are worse than art critics. Now, I think it's... I wanted to answer you. I'm not too sure if whether you want to go now, because you might think I'm more boring as a person than the film itself. These guys are worse than art critics. And he stays, I don't know, all the way to the end. He's a bit of a... I'm sorry we've interrupted this lady. Well, at least he's seen the whole film. Sorry. I found this work called Two Step, or Double Step. It surprised me you're not an actor, because you spent a lot of time on stage and quite impressive moments, if I recall. My question is, what relationship exists between that work, Double Step, with this film because of the title, or whether it has something or it has nothing to do with it, and why do you have the same actor in the film? You would have to see the other film, Lo de Barro, which is the basis, is the core, is the representation of a two-step in the Dogon, the country of Dogon. Izaki took advantage of this opportunity to make another film about his film, The Double Steps, which has an echo of Double Steps, and I appear just for a little while, so there are several stories involved. Yes, it stemmed from there, or perhaps there, and Girard's, for example. There are a lot of superimposing, just like my African drawings emerge, that are not very habit-like. That man left, and I didn't want to answer him. We'll send him a letter, I suppose. I don't know. He should send us a letter if he wants to ask a question. Well, have you seen the Clay Notebook? There's a relationship between these, the previous film. The fiction, one of the initial sequences is the dinner where they're with the maps, Amma Masagur looking to find, when they're trying to find the map, the bunker. The same film which the dinner, the documentary dinner, is where Mikkel and Nuts are going to carry out a performance in town, and the Masagur is there, is going to tell them what the performance is going to look like. What's in the background is a film as a landscape, and the other one, they are the protagonists. For example, in the fiction, the albinos that you saw in the documentary film, Miquel Barcelos is painting them with this bleach, and upon with bleach, he starts off with something transparent, and it starts quite... The bleach starts to emerge as he paints with it. So therefore, the cave that you saw in the film of The Double Steps, I think these are two films that can be seen separately. You don't have people to know that the other one exists, because you'll find the echoes of these. Just to see the clay notebook in some place in Mali, you know that there's a cave painted by Miquel Barceló, and there'll be tourists that want to go there. And he paints it all, and the cave is painted completely, and he goes back and he realizes it's all wiped out. You might think, if you were able to sell the cave, for example, we could have made 200 more films of this nature. I think it's great. I think that he believes everything is a custom, everything's a habit. It's a habit of mine to go to Africa every year. First of all, I want to congratulate you, because the film I thought was amazing. I want to see it more times, because it has a lot of layers in it and a textual wealth, cinematographically and pictorial and literary at the same time. And amongst all of the reflections that you address in the film is one of the greatest concerns of the history of art. That is to say, the reason why. Why do we create? Because do we create to make it to the audience, to the reader? In the case of the pictorial works that are destroyed, or we don't know what's become of them, that also makes us reflect, that Buñuel also reflected upon in his memoirs, that he proposed that when he died, they should burn all of his negatives. which was never done. Yeah, he wanted to burn, we would have to burn El Prado. Mikel, when he said we should do something, the magma could be eaten by the termites. And I continue to believe that it's a good idea. Not to call the real Makba. It's just a mock-up of the Makba with my exhibition inside it, in which the termites would continue to eat. Well, the idea, it's a bit complicated, but the idea was to paint miniatures of my paintings upon a very fine wheat cake, miniature paintings upon these little wafers, and do a mock-up of my exhibition, allow the termites or little mice to eat them, and to film that macro-type cameras, and it would be a 110-year-old painter could tell his story while all his works disappear. That was the idea. That was the film we were going to make. The idea of creating, I think at the end of the day, it's because of pleasure. The most important thing is that almost physical impulse and the feeling that you've done something that you like. When one writes a poetry at home, a poem at home, for example, all these, I believe in these kinds of things. Maybe someone might read it, but I think this is like a second level. Initially, everything was very material, very physical, the pigments, the hands, the bodies, and we can see that the hands at the end are not the idea that many people make, which is quite normal that they may make them, because they only see us in five-star hotels or festivals. But day-to-day work is very manual and very technical. Like, for example, there's a person who makes does the lighting or the sound, for example. It's the same thing. It's a day-to-day thing. I think all of this is a film. It's better understood children by children than people that are critics or cinema buffs. There are too many questions, but I'm sure a child will see Son Goku and the character turns up on someone who's jumping around, for example. It's normally then the more takes you to another story into another story, for example, and that's the idea. All of these series of gaps of the commercial cinema that I like a lot, and an hour and 10 minutes, we have to resolve it, and everything explains everything, and it's quite dull. And this film, we didn't want explanations. We wanted hard moments in this, and the audience could jump from one story to another. There's no transitions. We don't explain what exists. This has got to do with what Mikel told us. One with the termites, the idea when there are holes in the middle, you can build around it, and you don't see it as a problem, but as an inspiration, and you start to think that hole, that problem, and what it inspires. Another one is a phenomenal story that he told us. One night on Christmas Eve, I think, I told the story of Christ. I said, who's this Christ? So I started to tell the story of Christ, but at that same night, many stories told. I told the story of Frankenstein and Billy the Kid and Caravaggio, it seems. And after a few days, the story came back to me mixed up, once again combined, and the Christ was made of skulls, and he killed the murderer of his mother, and he ran away, and it was a pope. It was a fantastic story. And that's how images work, and paintings and everything in Africa. My own images come back modified. A good metaphor of this is a sculpture that I made in the beginning of the 90s. It was a monkey skull with wheels mixed with a pumpkin and with a pumpkin shell on wheels. And I manufactured, I took it, and then I made it large size. But then I found that the people in Savoon with monkey skulls made the same object to sell to tourists. So therefore, my object was modified. They didn't know that I'd made it. They didn't care. They made it to make money. And this happens with stories. There are stories that I've told and invented, or I've read, or I've listened to, I've heard before, it doesn't matter. But they come back polished like a stone that's gone through so many hands, like a coin, for example, and that's very African. There's no TV there, there's no radio, there aren't any newspapers. And there's this choral potential, for example, in the last 20 years of the image. And that is to say, I show them a stain, like I say, well, this is this is a skeleton that's dancing, and they say they can see it. They can see it as well as I can see it. They're much stronger to see forms and shapes in stones and rocks. So I've been trying to practice for the last 20 years to see shapes in stones. And these stories come back transformed. And this is one of the points of view of the film. What I must say is I identify myself with this film in the sense that I can assume, undertake all of the shots, and they're very similar to the work I carry out. They could be part of my iconography, we could say. It's a collaborative work, but Isaki respected my work as just like I respected his. And there's more coexistence that's going on. Isaki, what anecdote when Mo brought out and shared his customs and habits and mythologies, and having your parents in front of you, what positive things have your parents told you when you told them a story? And for more, Amor, what do you like about San Sebastian and the Spaniards?
Amor. Je demande à ce qui t'aiment d'ici et des Espagnols.
Ok.
Amor, je demande à moi. Ce que t'aiment d'ici, ce que t'aimes d'ici et de...
Ce que j'aime d'ici, oui. De l'Espagne.
En Espagne.
Donc j'aime beaucoup de l'art.
I like art very much. I like painting, and the painting from here, from this country. And I also like to see films. When we talk about art, I talk about art in the ample sense of the word. I also like bullfighting. I like bullfights as well, and the beach. And you're also able to sing flamenco, can't you? You can dance, play, sing some flamenco. Yes, I love it. I like flamenco as well. He's listened to Camarón 1,000 times. He puts the cassette on and he knows all of the words. And also Tom Waits and Jimi Hendrix as well, by the way. And some music by Bach. And as we got to my parents, what can I say? They're here in the front row. Somewhere when I was a kid, they took me to see many films. And then the absurd 17-year-old crisis when one doesn't know what to do. I said, well, was I going to become an economist? I told my parents. They said, but you think you can be an economist? I said, no, they were right. No, no way. And therefore, I redirected my career and studies. Sorry, we can't hear the question from the floor. I'm not too sure whether I understood your question well.
Sí, de estas muchas, por ejemplo.
Yes, many of these, I think. Oh, Giraz lived in the caves. In the last few days of his life, he lived away, a long way from society. When we came to Mali, we discovered that in Dogon, they put the bodies, dead bodies, in the high walls and the little crevices of the cliffs. These burials I carried out at 8 to 10 years at the time, so that they can set up the burial service. So we wanted to do a burial with 50 years preparation almost in honor of François Augiraz. And now we can say that the Augiraz's tomb, there's one in France and there's one in the country of Dogon, which is just as valid as the other one. One thing they do in the funerals is they break the most representative object of the person who they bury. If they bury, for example, a great farmer, they break his whatever it is, or they break the instruments of a great musician. When Martel Griol died, who was the first ethnographer who worked there, who taught him he was an anthropologist, so they broke his pencil when he died. And General Luz, they didn't break a camera, but they should have done that. These kinds of things are is what the film deals with. I think we should say the idea is to project both films in Mali, in Bamako and Sangha, where they were filmed, because I remember in the 1980s, Jean Rouge, who I appreciate as a director, and he also lived in Africa, and I think very close to Ogeras, he came to project his film upon Sigi, the 1960-odd, I think it was. But Jean Rouge always made films which were whether it was an African or non-African voice, as the guy asked, the person asked earlier on. Jean Rouge came to project a film for people who 30 years later, so that they could recognize themselves. And it was very moving to see the older people who saw they were children in that film, Ziggy. And we want to do the same thing and not spend so too many years, so that we can do it next year. Screen them there. This is a better question for them. Amo and Masabu and it all. Not too sure whether they're prepared to do so. Any further questions? Sorry if I got a bit angry earlier on. I get angry because I like... What happens in cinema is, if someone's a vegetarian and says, well, I don't like chicken, but people eat chicken, but it's similar. It seems that I'm a vegetarian and they should kill the people that eat chicken. Now, there's got to be chicken and there's got to be vegetarians. There's this latent aggressiveness that has emerged. We don't know where it comes from. Thank you very much for your attention, by the way. Thank you. Hello.